Good morning, one and all. Indeed, it is a great joy that we can worship the Lord together. Today, my message, as you know, is an encouraging message from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. And it is found in John chapter 14. Before I start the main message, I'd like to revise some of the past message that I preached, especially 2 weeks ago, preach on the same chapter. We know that the disciple had been following the Lord Jesus for 3 years. They had been witnessing to many amazing events done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had cast out demons, healed people with all kinds of diseases, and even raised people from the dead. Only God could do such things. He had demonstrated his power over nature. He commanded the wind to be strong, to stop, and it stops. Who can do that? Only God could do that. The disciples have seen all these things, and they were convinced that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Then they heard of his leaving. It was a tremendous blow to them, and their hearts were greatly troubled. Now, it was essential that Jesus prepare them for the shock for various reasons. First, they had put all their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and had given up their all to follow him. But now they were confused and did not understand how could the Messiah, the Son of God, would die in the hands of the wicked man. Jesus knew their predicament and comforted them by reaffirming his deity, that he is God. That was last week's message. And he revealed to them that he was God manifested in the flesh of man, in John chapter 14, verse 9. And he said this: he that has seen me has seen the Father. And then he said again in verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father in me. So when you see one, you see the other. You know one, you know the other. So they are all the same. The Father and the Son, they are the same. Then he revealed to them the incredible source of power that was available to them through him. And he said this, listen, verse 12, John 14, 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. That is, the disciple could do greater works than the works that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth. We know the disciples' work were greater than Jesus, not in power, but in scope, in the scope. The Lord Jesus Christ preached to people only those in Palestine. The disciple preached to the people all came from all over the world. And the gospel is still spreading until today. So in scope, he's talking about the scope. Finally, the Lord Jesus gave them a promise about prayer. And here this is what he says: whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may glorify in the Son. If we ask anything in my name, I will do it. So these are the three things the Lord Jesus Christ used to comfort the disciple. That was in the past message. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ continued his message on comforting the disciple. But before I go into the main message, we must know something about our Christian life. There is a dichotomy between what we are to do as Christians and what have already done for us. The Bible tells us how we are to act, think, speak, and to live as Christians. Where does it say so? There's one verse I quote to you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. The Lord Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are commanded to do this and to commit ourselves to live for the glory of God. Now, all these are essential to our Christian faith. This is what we as Christians must do. On the other hand, the New Testament emphasizes what Christ has already done for us. We are told that we are called. We are called by God. We are justified by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sanctified or made holy by the Holy Spirit without any effort of our own. Salvation is by the grace of God. We learn that Christ and the Holy Spirit are continually interceding on our behalf. That's the second thing that the Holy Spirit will do for us. Thirdly, we discover that we are also recipients of an inheritance in heaven. Being a Christian, the Lord will give you what you need to have. We know in John chapter 14, he prepared a place for you in heaven. All these are heavenly inheritance the Lord prepared for you. And not only that, eternal life is a gift of God. It's an inheritance. Only Christians will have eternal life, the gift of God, the life of God. And now we come to this passage that we have read just now. It's a message of comfort for today. In this passage, Jesus gave his disciples the promise that after his departure, the Holy Spirit would come to dwell in their hearts and to minister to them while they were on earth. We are going to learn more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this message today. First of all, we want to learn about the nature of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Another comforter. Alright, that is the name of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we know that the name of God is talking about his nature, the kind of work that he will be doing, that his nature. To whom is this promise of another comforter made? In the context here, Jesus is speaking to his 11 disciples. But the scope of his promise is broader than that. The promise is for all disciples throughout the ages. Throughout the ages. And it continues even up to today as we study the scripture. The scope is so wide. The Lord Jesus directed this promise to the disciples Because at that time their hearts were troubled. They are having problems. They were fearful. And the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing their fear of being left alone. Jesus assured them that they would not be left alone to fend for themselves. They would have a supernatural comforter to abide with them forever. We know that Jesus had been with the disciple for 3 years. He had helped them, comforted them, and also walked with them. The disciple must have greatly encouraged and comforted when they heard that he would send another comforter, one like him, to be with them and abide with them forever. This is a great message to them. I'm going to go a bit deeper than what I'm saying here. First of all, we must know the word comforter. The word comforter in Greek is parakate, often to mean one who was a legal counsel in the court, one who stood for someone to argue his case. Obviously, we know this is a lawyer or an advocate who is arguing for you. And the same word is used of Jesus as advocate, parakletos, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It always contains the idea of encouragement. One who will shoulder the responsibility of another. You have problem, the person will shoulder your responsibility. So that is the word of comforter. Now another Greek word that we must know is the word another. The Greek word for another is crucial to our understanding what Jesus meant. The Greek language is much more precise than English. The Greek has two words for another. The first one is heteros, which means another of different kind. Another of different kind, heteros. And the other one is allos, right? Which is used here, means another of the same kind. Same kind. 100% the same kind. And this is the word that is used here by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will send another comforter, one like himself, 100% like him. Not 95%. Same kind like him. And Jesus used this word to describe the Holy Spirit, which means another comforter, another helper, just like he himself, will come to assist the disciple. Jesus was comforting his disciple by assuring them that they did not need to be troubled at his leaving, because he was sending one of exactly the same essence as himself. One exactly like himself, with the same compassion and with the same attribute of deity and the same love for them. Oh, Jesus is not totally leaving them, but there's another person coming to help them. So the word comforter tells us what the Holy Spirit will do for the disciple, or for you and for us. We always talk about Holy Spirit, but what is his job? What is his ministry? And today, this passage will reveal to us some of his ministry. If you are going through hard times, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to come along to help, comfort, and to strengthen you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's there all the time, prepared to help you. When you fall, He comes along to lift you up and help you to move on your journey of life. That is one aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said that another comforter, and then He said, what did He say here? This is very important. In verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. What will He do? He may abide with you forever. It's very clear, right? But that's not enough. Jesus, in verse 17, He says again, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwell with you and shall be in you. Another time. Dwell in you and be in you. This is an emphasis of what the Spirit will do when God sent Him. He will come into your heart. He will dwell in you. Why is this so important? He wants to emphasize about this. Now you must understand the mind of the disciple. The disciple were Jews. They know the Old Testament very well. They know the history very well. And the disciple knew the ministry of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament scripture. In the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit sometimes would come upon certain individual, certain man, to assist him in certain service for God. You see, when God asks someone to do something, He will give someone, give the person power to do the work. And when the task was accomplished, He would then depart from him. So the Holy Spirit came to dwell in the person, help the person, energize the person to do the work of God. And when the work was done, the Holy Spirit will leave. This happened many times in the Old Testament. Holy Spirit came from David. Holy Spirit came from Azariah. The Holy Spirit came from Isaiah. Holy Spirit came upon King Saul. I just quote one example here. When Samuel anointed David to be king, what happened? The Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13 tells us that the Holy Spirit came upon David from that day forward. See, assist him to be king. And then in verse 14, tells us that the Holy Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Holy Spirit came to Saul in chapter 11, chapter 14, the Holy Spirit departed from Saul. Why? Because God is not going to use him as a king of Israel already. So the Holy Spirit left him. At the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit had descended upon Jesus as a dove. So the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were not ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus further, talking about the Holy Spirit, would dwell in them, but He further emphasizing the presence of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the believer. And here, as I said, He said that for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. This is double emphasis, you see. The Holy Spirit will not just be present with them till their job was done. It will be a permanent, interrupted residence in the hearts of the believers. So in the Greek text, it tells us that is an emphasis of the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, He will be in you. Not for 1 year, 2 year, 10 years, until you see the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Permanently. Now we come to the relationship of the Holy Spirit, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He dwells in the heart. What is there for? There must be something that he wants to do in us, right? What is that for? First of all, we must know that the Holy Spirit is also called what? The Spirit of Truth. Verse 17. The Spirit knows the truth and tells the truth. What he knows, the truth he will tell. Every word that comes out from his word is truth. Because he's God. He cannot lie. Because this is the nature of God. God cannot lie. He is the one who guides us into the truth. That's what the Bible says. Apart from him, man cannot know or understand truth. Only the Holy Spirit will enlighten, open the mind, the eye of the person, then the person can see. You can do a lot of research in your studies, even reading Christian books. If the Holy Spirit don't enlighten your mind, your eyes, you still cannot understand, cannot see, no matter what degree you hold. You see, there's something very important here. The unsaved men do not know the truth. They have no facilities for the spiritual perception. They have no way to see the working of the power of the Holy Spirit. They can see something happen, but they are not clear, not sure. Okay, let me prove to you. First example I quote to you is Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a scholar, was a very religious leader. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Right? But what happened? He came to Jesus at night to seek the truth. He did not know the truth very well. He could not see Jesus as the Son of God. He could not see. What could he see? Well, in John chapter 3, verse 2 tell us, he see only Jesus as a teacher come from God. He only see him as a teacher come from God because of the miracles Jesus performed. He did not know that Jesus is the Son of God, Nicodemus at that time. Not only Nicodemus, the Pharisees, also the same thing, it's another example. They saw Jesus perform miracles and heal all kinds of diseases. They conclude that he was from where? From Beelzebub, the prince of the devil, that is from Satan. Where does he say so? Matthew 12:24. You see, a person may read a lot of things, may see a lot of things, but not necessarily will understand the truth. It shows that all unsaved men do not have the capacity to understand the truth of God. Jesus told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit came, the world would not get the wrong message anymore. Because he is the Spirit of Truth. So that is the thing that Jesus wants to tell the disciple. The relationship of the Holy Spirit with us is revealed by Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Now, I'm going through this verse again. Jesus used three prepositions to bring out the light of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The word with, that he may abide with you forever. Why Jesus need to say that? You want the disciple to know that the Holy Spirit, once he enters into the hearts, he will never leave. In the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals and departed once the job was done. That was not permanent dwelling. You see? To all the disciples, the promise Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit may abide with him forever. That is, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, would abide with the believer as companion for their journey of life. I will use another thing. The Holy Spirit is our life partner. You know that? You cannot see. But he's your life partner. He's inside you. So wherever you go, he follows you. Whatever you do, he is there to guide, to direct, and so many things. So don't think the Holy Spirit is somewhere up there or somewhere else. No. He is inside you. He's inside you. Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth, will dwell in us and lead us and guide us in our journey of life. And that's the reason we always pray to the Lord, help us this and that. And the Lord sometimes answers our prayer. He guides us. And if you are sensitive enough, you know, this is the leading of the Holy Spirit. You want me to do this, you want me to do that. You will know. You will know. So the Holy Spirit is there to lead us. The Holy Spirit, as our advocate, will dwell in us to be our defender of the spiritual warfare. Sometimes we have a lot of trouble, spiritual problems. What must we do? Well, the Holy Spirit is there. He will defend us. He will defend us. And that's what the Bible says. The title Comforter denotes the Holy Spirit may do many things for us. He does more than comfort, help, counsel, and console. He also advocates, exhorts, and teaches. Therefore, there are many reasons why the disciple heart should not be troubled. Isn't it? They should not be worried, because God is with them, Holy Spirit is there to guide them, teach them, to show them what to do. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ assured the disciple. One more thing. He told his disciple that his returning to the Father will not leave them as orphans. Will not leave them as orphans. You all know what is orphans, right? One who do not have any parents, orphans. Where does it say so? Verse 18. No, I can't find any. All right, in Greek you can see the word comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless, in John chapter 14, verse 18a. The word comfortless in Greek is orphanos, orphans. Means often. Orphans were often mistreated and sometimes sold as slaves because they had no protector. And Jesus had no intention of abandoning his disciple. And therefore, they should not be afraid of being abandoned as orphans. And he said, I will come to you. In verse 18, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Wow, look very complicated. Huh? He indicated that he would come to them. All right. In the person of the Holy Spirit, you will come to them. He said, I will come to you. All right, verse 18. Yet a little while, and then he said, you'll see me. He told us that you will see me. Now, he was speaking of his spiritual presence, not bodily presence. In other words, when would they be able to see him? When would that happen? And verse 19 says, a little while after the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, he would fulfill his promise of sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in them and to perform the ministry of the Comforter. After the resurrection of Christ, he will do this kind of work. And this promise was fulfilled when Jesus breathed on the disciple and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Where does he say so? John chapter 20 verse 22. Alright. During this time, 40 days, during at that period, when Jesus said this word, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That time, they really received the Holy Spirit. Before then, they do not. Only from then onward, they received the Holy Spirit. Even until today, all the believers would do it. Now, the Holy Spirit dwelled in the disciple at that time. But the activities of the Holy Spirit began on the day of Pentecost. That's a difference. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit dwelled in the disciple at that time. But the activities of the Holy Spirit began at Pentecost. The disciples were filled and energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? They preached the gospel. And as a result, 3,000 souls were saved. And the Holy Spirit kept working in the hearts of the believers. And more and more and more people were saved. Even until today. So we know that the Holy Spirit started his work in the hearts of the disciples at that time, just before Pentecost at that time. And then in verse 27, he concluded these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. This is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the disciple. He gave to assure them after his leaving, the Holy Spirit will dwell in their hearts, will serve them, will be with them, will guide them as what he had done to the disciple in the past. And this message is not only applied to the disciple of Jesus Christ at that time, it applies to us. So, dearly beloved, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, guide us, direct us. Anytime when you have trouble, what should we do? Pray. Pray. And the Lord will guide you, will answer you through the working of the Holy Spirit. So may God help us to understand that God not only save us, forgive our sin, but he give us the Holy Spirit to guide our life journey. And we must obey, be submissive. Then the Lord will able to work in our hearts well to his own glory. So may the Lord be glorified.